And before we begin, I want to express my personal Hakaras HaTov, and on behalf of the entire Tzibur, our Hakaras HaTov to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that Baruch Hashem, that our Baal Tefila, Rabbi Yaakov Hagler, is together with us again. He had a sabbatical last year. He's back with us, Baruch Hashem. And the Ebeshu should help him, that he should have the foolish slave and the Sasha Chali Yisrael should always be together with us to lead us in Shem and Atfilis and Yishalayim with the Gula Shalayim. It's always hard to speak before a tzibur. As many years as I've been doing this, it's always very, very difficult, especially when it comes to the time, to this time of the year. And I really struggle for a long time in advance, thinking of what I can say, what I should say. And that I wish I didn't have to say anything, and I wish that I could be hearing . And it's a pachad and a chrayis to speak to a tzibur of such special chashiv and chashiv and tzaddikim and tzadkanis, to try to somehow enter together into the kedushas hazman. And the frat that things that I thought I would say, felt like saying, I always realize at the end that it's really not so much up to me, especially now to be able to talk bichlal, so you think that you'll be able to say what you'll say. It's bichlal not in our hands. So I want to share with you before we begin some very, very simple words. So Mr. Shabbos tells stories. Zemaisa, I saw Zemaisa from the great guy in Gedalia Shores, Eichel Tzadik Levrach. Gedalia Shores really has been described as the first American bred Godel B'Yisrael. And I saw that it happened that Gedalia was already very, very sick. He didn't live to be that old. He was very sick, and he was invited by one of his Talmidim to attend the Shavuot Brachos. One of his students was getting married, and there was a Shavuot Brachos. And the truth is, it was very, very hard for Gedalia Bechlal to move, to go anywhere, but he forced himself, despite the protests of his family, Talmid, a student, not to go to Shavuot Brachos. And then, once he got to Shavuot Brachos, so then, of course, Chosin asked him to say Drosha, to dash, to cover the Simcha. And Rabbi Dalia Shor barely had the strength to stand up. So he said a very, very simple and short thing. He said, there's a minhag Yisrael, it's our custom, to give a gift to the Chosin and Kal. Really, it's in the Zohar HaKadosh and Parshas Vayetze, and it's brought down the Halach and the Rambam, Hilchos Avel, in the 14th Perek, where the Rambam says, the mitzvah haseh shel divrayim, that it's a mitzvah haseh midrabanan, the sameach hakala v'achosn, to bring joy to the chosn and kala, l'sadam v'chol tzorcheyem, and to support them and help them with their needs. It's a mitzvah to give a gift to Chosin and Kal. And And we know also that according to Chazal, and we believe in this with all of our hearts, that according to Chazal, the Baruch Shalom is Mekayim the mitzvahs. Hashem is Baruch himself, observes mitzvahs. So it must be that the Baruch Shalom himself also gives a gift to the Chasam and Kaam. Especially since it says B'Feirish in the Sherev Brachos, Baruch Ata Hashem, B'Sameach Chasam and Kaam. It's a Baruch and Sherev Brachos that the Baruch Shalom is B'Sameach, the Chasam and Kaam. So Gedalia said it must be, therefore, that the Baruch Shalom himself gives a gift to the Chasam and Kaam. So the question is, Rabbi Dali asked, what is the gift that the Baruch Shalom gives to Chasman Kaam? And he said, the gift that the Baruch Shalom gives to Chasman Kaam is the gift of Mechilas Avonos. It's the gift of forgiving the Chasman Kaam for their sins. Because everybody knows, Chazal taught us that on the day of Chasn, that the Chasn and Kala are forgiven for all their sins. So Gedalia said, this gift that the Baruch Shalom gives the Chasn and Kala, the opportunity to be able to begin a new life together, to start again, that whatever happened in the earlier lives, each one in his own corner of the world, whatever that was, is finished. It's finished. And the Baruch Shalom gives a gift to the Chasn and Kala, that when they start their lives together, they should be able to start completely, completely from the beginning. Nikiyan, tahir, clean, pure, without any chatoim, without any sins, without any aveiros, shoyim, intentional, unintentional. Menukim, completely clean. And it's Poshet Rav Gedalia Shor said that there's no greater gift. There's no greater gift, there's no gift that's more precious than the gift of being forgiven, than the gift of being able to start again, than the gift of being pure like a newborn child. Even though there's been so many things that have set in over the years that have taken away from us that innocence. That was the drosha that Rav Gedalia Shor said by Shavuos. That was the gift that he gave to that Chasn and Kala, and that was the last gift he would give in this world, because it was a very short time later after that Shavuot Brachos that Rabbi Gedalia Shor passed away, and he gave his neshama, his pure neshama, back as a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yisrael, we're coming into that time. Such a gewaltige time. It's a time the Rabbi Shlomo himself, the Chavod V'Atzmo, with the Bari Kail Olam, the creator of all the worlds, the one who gives us back to us each and every day, our neshamas. It's a time that the Rabbi Shlomo sends to his little chasanim and kalas in the world, each and every one of us, that the Baruch Shalom sends each and every one of us the ability to start again, the ability to begin fresh, new, hisnari me'ofa kumi, to be able to shake off from ourselves all the filth, all the ugliness, all the narishkeit, the shtus and the tumma, that wittingly or unwittingly, we certainly didn't imagine that it would come to this. Like we say in the Tehillah Zaka, before Kol Nidrei, Matnim Anu Al Nafshaseinu, we ourselves are shocked. Eich Nes, Zahat Yeva Hazois, when did this disgusting thing happen to me? how did this happen to me? I didn't mean for this to happen. And the Baruch Shalom gives his chassan and kalas in this world, you and I. He gives us a wondrous time, a time that's not of the time of this world, something beyond, something me'ever, above and beyond this world. And he gives us that gift of being able to be nekiyim mamash, to be clean, to be pure. And Hashem infuses deep, deep into the hearts of all of our friends the ability to forgive us for what we've done to them. The Baruch Shalom infuses deep, deep into the hearts of our children the desire to forgive us, their parents, for not being the parents we should be. And deep into the hearts of a wife, the forgiveness for a husband who didn't treat her properly. Into the heart of the husband, forgiveness of his wife did not treat him properly. The question is, what's our achrayus at this moment? Of I'm those who you are blamed with Bishayach Yerushalayim, I explain every year at the beginning of Slichas that in time this moment of Slichas in the Svam HaKadoshim is called the Gate of Yerushalayim. We proceed in Yerushalayim further till we get all the way into Yom Kippur, which is of course Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, Lifnai V'Lifnim. Now we're just standing by the opening. And as we stand in the gate of Yerushalayim, the question is, what can we do? How do we begin to make ourselves worthy, to make ourselves worthy to receive this matana, this gift, this wedding gift that the Baruch Shalom is reaching out to us? The Baruch Shalom is offering us this gift. Even a gift, a person has to be a makabel, you have to want it, you have to accept it. These are halachas and cheshem, mishpat, mishpat, malach, and simonim, and shulchan aruch. A person has to want it, even a matan. It's din of zachlad, and shulchan aruch. I'm not going to go into the halacha now, but a person has to understand that he's getting a gift. So what do we do to make ourselves worthy? And how do we receive this gift? So Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, in the first Shah, so Rabbeinu Yonah explains that there are two types of chaitim. I don't want to translate the word chaitim into English. There are two types of people who are doing things wrong, who are not doing things the way they should. There are two types of chaitim, Rabbeinu Yonah says. The first is a Yid, Rabbeinu Yonah says, a Jew, who generally is very, very, very good, but he got caught up in a certain taiva, he got caught up in a certain desire, and as a result of the taiva, something began to go wrong, and he said. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes that certainly such a person has to regret that, he has to feel bad, and he has to try to correct that, and he has to accept upon himself to do whatever he can to prevent that from happening in the future. One of the ways that Rabbeinu Yonah talks about and the other Rishonim of doing that is to try to strengthen that particular part of the levee that was broken, yeah, to fix it and to double up and to strengthen it. And then in halacha, to accept upon oneself in that inyan chumrah, stringent season, so to tighten up things, to strengthen the levee, that such a thing shouldn't happen again. Because hurricanes happen, and we have to be strengthened. That's one kind of a chayte of a person who sins. But there's another kind of thing that talks about. And this is the part that hurts so much. This is the part that hurts. Aval ha'ish ha'misyatsev al derech lo'itayva tam. Benyamin says the first person I was talking about, his path, his way is a way of attachment to Hashem. He lives with the Rebbeinu Shlomo Mamish, the first guy. But he had what they call like an exosella pancha, you know, like a flat tire, you know, something went wrong in his bed. He messed up. That was the first guy. But the second guy, Rebbeinu says, is Ha'isha Misyatsev al derech loy toiva tamid. He's Misyatsev al derech loy toiva tamid. He is standing firm and living a life that is just off. It's not that he's living, the first guy's living a gewaldig life, but he had a taiva in him. He messed up. The second guy, Rebbeinu says, is Misyatsev al derech leitayva tamid. He has placed himself, he lives in a life that is leitayva. And b'chol yayin, Rabbi Yehuda says, shayne b'evlasai. And he repeats his foolishness, he repeats himself, his mistakes, his narishkeit, over and over and over. So then in writes, Reishis Tshuva Se'ish Hazeh, the beginning of the Tshuva of this second guy, Reishis Tshuva Se'ish Hazeh, Lazev Darkei Umachshav Tehara. Here it's not a question of patching up a flat, plugging in a hole, smearing something in that part of the levee that cracked. This is a person whose whole mahalach is off. His whole way in life is off. And as a result of that distortion of his life, there are many, many, many mistakes that I made. This person, Rabbeinu says, is obligated lazev dark. He has to go away from that path. Lazev dark. Lazav darkei machshav tehara. He has to go away from that path entirely, and he has to abandon and reject a certain way of thinking that brought him to that place of terrible, terrible confusion. And here there's a hesved, there's an explanation in the magnificent sefer, the Shnita Laz, that's written by the author of Bilvav Mishkan Evna, many of the chaverim who are learning the sefer, Bilvav Mishkan Evna. So in his sefer Shnita Laz, at the beginning there's a small section on tshuva. So there the tzaddik writes that the difference between these two. So that first Jew, that's mekushet to Hashem, that's attached deeply, deeply to Hashem. And all of his machshavas, dibur me'maisim, all of his thoughts, his words, and his actions are directed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in a certain area of his life, at a certain time of his life, in a particular tkuf, in a particular area, he slipped and he forgot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But b'derech klal, in general, he's mekusher, he's attached to Hashem. Just that in that area there was a slip-up in the Keshe. So the Ikra Avoida, he explains, this is what Rabbeinu is saying, that the Ikra Avoida of that first Jew is to work very, very hard to be misaking, to repair that particular problem. The overall picture is a very good one, it's a very healthy one. But there's a prat, there's a detail in his life that needs focused attention to deal with that particular nakuda and to fix it and to repair it. But then you have another kind of a Jew. And B'Shemitah Laz, the Bilav Avi explains that we're not necessarily talking, God forbid, we're not talking about a Rosh, about a horrible, horrible, wicked person. Some of you might recall that before the summer, we were learning the Inyan of Panim El Panim, right? Face to face, how to relate with each other directly, and how to relate to Hashem. And you remember, some of you might remember, that the Balat Tanya was talking about Bechlel, what does it mean to return to Hashem? Hashem is never far from us, right? Remember? So I'm sure you remember his answer. He brought the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Nasnoi Lai Oyref, which means, I'm very, very close, Hashem says, to every Jew. But a Jew could still sit right next to me, but if his head is turned around and he doesn't face me, if his back is facing me, so we don't have a relationship. And we learned back then that a person can be married 20, 30 years, 40 years, they're living in the same house, they sit across a table, they sit a foot away from each other, but they're really, really a billion miles apart, because each one is turned away from the other. They're not facing each other. They're looking someplace else. And we spoke about that as the problem of our generation, between people, that we should be able to look at each other and be real and be focused. And Allah has come of a kama when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Shemitah Laz writes that we have the second type of a Jew that Rabbeinu Yonah talks about, a person who's misyatzev al derech loy toiva, that he stands, he lives in a way that is not the true way. What does that mean? It means that he might daven three times a day, and he might put on tefillin, and he and she are keeping Shabbos and keeping mitzvahs, and they spend most of their money to send the kids to yeshivas, and they support other Jews and help other Jews, and they're involved in all kinds of projects and mitzvahs and mas and toiv, and they could be heads of organizations and choshev, people in the eyes of the community. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo knows that their entire Yiddishkeit is without any heritage, it's totally empty. Without any simcha, without any joy, without any feeling of the slightest kesher to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, to our Father. So the Shemitah Laz writes that the whole derech of this person in life is wrong. The whole derech is off. He has the right kitchen, there's a milk, there's an inflation sink. He finally reached that time in his life that he could have two sinks. And he even has all the paraphernalia. He went to the Judaica shop in his neighborhood. He bought all the things that say chalav and bosar, milchis and fleishis. And he's got everything the way the kids, the boys have all the pious look. They look the way they're supposed to look. And the girls have nice little outfits. And he's proud walking in the street with his little fun-looking kids. And he does everything to fit in and to look like he's part of something. And the only thing missing is that there's bechlal no shayches to Hashem. He doesn't think about God. His davening is without God. He doesn't, in all of the good things that he's doing, in the mitzvahs that he's trying to keep, he doesn't connect it all to the mahus, the essence, the essence of what a Jew is, of what a Jew is supposed to be. So what happens very often, the Shemitah Laz writes, is that people like that come to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and they start to think about, what kind of thing can I do this year to be mekabel upon myself? Ooh, I have to make a new chumrah in Hilchos Shabbos. What's the latest chumrah in Hilchos Shabbos? Oh, I guess I'll get a new thing for my sink, a new thing for this. You know, because you have to maybe to strain it this way, Shabbos, you can't strain it that way. Or I'm going to get something new when it comes to kashrus I'm taking upon myself, Chol Yisrael, Pas Yisrael, the Be'ezahirus and Yashin and so on. I'm going to take upon myself something new when it comes to, like I told you, that bracha that decided he wanted to take upon for the new year. This was a bracha that was involved in all kinds of mishra, but he decided he wanted to wear a garter for that year. And people make kabbalas and make decisions What could I do? So a person thinks, well, one thing in my life, you know, I lose my temper, so I have to work this season to be a gewaltige avoid working on my temper. And during davening, he thinks about the whole Rosh Hashanah. Another person is thinking that this year I have to be more careful what I look at. I can't look at those things, what the shows and what I saw on the internet and what I read this magazine or in the newspapers. There has to be an avoid in Shmir Sainan. The problem with this person is he thinks he's in the first category that Rabbi Yehuda was talking about, because all those things are good. You have to work on everything. It's a big religion. And the emphasis, he has to work on everything. All of us have to work on everything all the time. But you know how it is. When you're working on everything all the time, it means you're working on nothing. Because Rabbi Yehuda says that most people are making a big mistake. If we'd be big tzaddik and big tzaddik, and has one little puncture, one little hole in his Yiddish kite, so he has to double up and fix that place in the levy. Nope. He says, the mistake that most of us make when we come to Yom Yeroyim is that we're really not in the first category. We're misyatzrim al derech l'tayv. Most Jews, we shouldn't say, what many of us experience and what we know when we're honest about who we are, it's not an issue of another chumrah. This year I'm gonna throw away the television. I'm only gonna use a monitor, a VCR, or something other, another machine without the channels. And this year I'm not gonna wear pants anymore, a young lady says, or a woman. I'm gonna only wear a dress. And this one says, I'm not gonna go anymore with my hair uncovered. I'm gonna put something on my head. And the guys, because I'm not going to go anymore to look at these things, they should. I'm not going to look at them. So he's cobbled upon himself all of these things. And we see that year after year, Rabbi Saif, to a large extent, it doesn't work. To a large extent, yeah, we make it better, we try. But to a large extent, you know how it is. A week after Sukkot, if somebody says to you, what's going on? How's it going with that Kabbalah you told me about? You made it, you took on yourself this chumrah, that chumrah. Unless there's something you could buy in the store, so you don't buy anymore, you only go to Chol Yisrael. So that's not such a big thing. But in terms of real avodah, it's very, very, very hard that any Kabbalah should last, that anything that we accept should be long-lasting. And the reason is because we are making a terrible mistake by placing ourselves, by thinking that we fit into the first category of a person whose derech is a derech toiv, whose way is clear, whose Yiddishkeit is strong and solid, who is deeply, deeply attached to the very kalalam, to the Creator, and in the context of that a person sometimes slips up. Then the ikur is to focus on that slip up and to double up and to fix and to patch it up and to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And then one will naturally revert back to his ways of holiness. But what happens, this is what Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us, that what happens when you have a person whose entire approach to life, with the yarmulke, with the shaykh, with this or with that, the whole approach to life is wrong. It's an approach to Yiddishkeit without the Rabbanu Shloilam. He could be at the daf yoyim, he could say over a fancy svar, and he explains Taisus, and he knows what the Rambam says, and he's got his latest daf yoyim, also paraphernalia, all the different papers and explanations, and he listens on the train, he goes to shir in the city, he goes to shir wherever he is, he carries around the Gemara, but the Rabbanu Shloilam doesn't have a shaitis ki huzeh to the master of the world. And Mimela, when things go wrong, when things that he's doing wrong, it doesn't allow that it's wrong, but it's always some explanation and justification, because the whole thing is not the whole thing is not the vagus of Hashem, it's not to be attached to the Banishman. Regarding such a person, Dovin Malach said, Savir Vishoyim Yishalechem. Soviv Rishoyim Yishalechun. What does it mean, Soviv Rishoyim Yishalechun? And again, we're not talking about wicked people, now God forbid. But a person who's not doing the right thing, like we're talking about, Soviv Rishoyim Yishalechun means, Soviv means to make hakafis, to go in circles. So Tzaddikim say, you know what that means, Soviv Rishoyim Yishalechun? It means that you have people that are always talking about Yiddishkeit, like I was talking about today. And always talking about Yiddishkeit. And they're always in the sugi of Yiddishkeit. And they always are using Jewish words and going to Jewish things and part of the Jewish world. And they never, ever, ever get to the point of what it means to be a Jew. That's with the Rambam on one hand and with the Shas on the other hand. They never get to the point of what it means to be a Jew, which is Atam Adveikim Hashem Lokem Chayim Kulchem Hayom. Sovriv Rishoynis Halech means that there are people that go through their entire life till 120 draying around. You don't have to be a dray cup. It means to dray around in Yiddishkeit. You comfort yourself because you think that you keep the mitzvahs, you don't do big aveiros, and you sign up for a couple of things, and you read a couple of books, and never, ever, ever do you ever get to the inner nekud of what it means to be a Jew, which is to be dovid, to be attached to the Creator, to have a shaychus to the Ribono Shel Olam. If a person will be dovid to Hashem, then all those other things, what you eat, how you dress, what you think about, what we spoke about today, everything, everything would fall into place. With an occasional slip up. No, we're human. But instead, what do we do? Sovir Rishonis Haleichem. We're going to go to more lectures this year. More discussions about Yiddishkeit. More discussions about Jewish education and what to do with the curriculum of our children. All Bulamaises. They're living without their Baruch Shalom. The schools, our homes, are missing Hashem's Baruch. And you could spend your whole life solving Rishonis Haleichem. I'm not just talking about when I say our schools. It could be a Kollel in B'nai Brak. Like many, many times over the years, I've mentioned to you when the Heilige Baditshva, Rabbi Yitzchak from Sarasasha, when he came to, he told all the Jews they have to come together in this Medrash. It was a Tuesday, whatever, and every Jew in Baditshva, they were afraid that thousands of people came. Baditshva was a city, and they came to Baditshva, and they didn't know what was going to be. They thought it was Chalila, going to be a pogrom that he knew about, and Baditshva had eyes to see, and they were all afraid. And the Baditshva walked up, and he had his talus over his head. And he went to the bima and he cried out and he said, "Yidden, don't forget there's a Ribono Shel Olam. Don't forget there's a Ribono Shel Olam." And he was talking to only to Orthodox. He only had an Orthodox Olam over there in Medrash. He was speaking to God-fearing, hard-working religious Jews. But the Baditshva understood that there's such a thing as Soviv Rishoyis Haleichim, Yidden that spend their whole lives making hakafis around Yiddishkeit. Hakafis, Soviv Rishoyis Haleichim, they never ever get to the point. And if somebody talks to them about the point, if they hear about the point, it's very unnerving. It can make you comfortable. It's a lot easier to talk about a Rambam than a Ravid. Soviv Rishoyis Haleichim. So Rabbi said, the Ikar of Slich is the beginning of where we're holding now. I'm going to say, you're again, Raglani B'Sharach, Yerushalayim, Atam Nitzavim, Lishna Hashem Elokeichem, that's the parasha tonight, is Atam Nitzavim, Hayoim, Lishna Hashem Elokeichem. The whole Inyan of Slich is, can be summed up in the two words that we're going to say, Asal Lifanecha. Here we are, Rabbi Yisrael is standing before you, we're finished with the hakafis. The whole year long we were making hakafis with the tefillin, with the mitzvah, with the little minhagim, with all of our things, we're making our Yiddishkeit, the Yiddishkeit of Sovir Rishayim is Aleichon. And when it comes to Slichas is Oim Dais, Ayur Aglaim Sharach, Yerushalayim is Asal Melechanech, Rabbi Yisrael, here we are. We're back. We've come to you. The Vilna Gaon writes in his parish and Yaina, in the first parak, Ben Adam Kasha Hu Bezeha Oilam, the Gaon says that when a person is in this world, Chayta, he sins, V'chayshev Shibay Reach Milifnei Ribayin, he's talking about Yaina. An amazing parish that he has, the Gaon, and the Nishon, and the Guf, and those who have seen it know what I'm talking about. So the Gaon writes, when a person is in this world, he sins, and he thinks that he's able, he deludes himself, and he imagines that he's able to run away from his Creator, he's able to escape. Like Yonah tried to run away. He's able to escape. And that world of escaping doesn't mean that you go in the way that's called off the derech. I got news for you. A lot of those people that are described as being off the derech are not as off as they appear. And you have many, many people who are officially on the derech, but they're making hakafis, and they never stop once to think. They don't have to think about it. Why? Because I'm a frum person. How do you know you're frum? I'm a member of a frum shul. And I keep this, I keep mitzvahs, I try the very few avers and so on. So the Goyim says, Choshev Sheberech Melos Nei Rabbeinu Va'alzeh Kisher Shov Ha'adam. When a person does tshuva, Nikra, when a person returns, Nikra Bal Tshuva. When a person returns to Hashem's Baruch, what does that mean to return to Hashem? Like we learned from the Balatani, how do you return to Hashem? You can never go away from Him. He follows you. He's with you every second. What does it mean to return to Him? The Torah says to face Him again. Because we turned our faces away and we're dragging around and making the hakafis of Rishoy Misalech. And so when it comes to Slichas, the beginning of Slichas, to be able to open ourselves up to Hashem's Baruch's gifts. To the gift of starting again, to the gift of forgiveness, to the gift of being brand new. The beginning of that is Asom Lefanecha, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. Is to stand and to face Hashem's Baruch, to say, I don't want to run away from you anymore. I don't want to make circles around my Yiddishkeit and around you. I'm stopping and standing in front of you. And when we stop that running around in circles, we say Kedal Mikarash and Dafak Nablasach Rabbanishl and Mamish. When we look at you in the eyes, and we're able to look at you, and you're looking, and you look at us in the eyes, we're able to feel, not just able to, we're Mamish burned with the feeling of embarrassment and shame. And we're the most impoverished people. And the same person is a big knacker because he drives a fancy car or he has a bigger house than the guy next to him. So that same big knacker is diminished and made into the same little person that feels kirashim of kedalim dafak blasach, we're totally empty and impoverished. Let me share with you a story. I saw this story this morning. One of the great Nagidim of Yushalayim, that world of Yushalayim, a world of Chaim Sonnenfeld, a world of Rav Kook. There are people here, there are young people here who never even saw what Yushalayim looked like 30, 40 years ago. I'm not that old. It's a different tzura altogether. You can still find it in a couple of back streets. And one of those back streets, there lived a great Jew by the name of Rav Shab Sayyid Levitch. So Reb Shapsi told the following story. Listen carefully. Reb Shapsi said that Yerushalayim was going through, the whole Yeshuv was going through a terrible, terrible season, a year, because it hadn't rained at all. And it was already in the winter months, there wasn't a drop of rain. And as a result of that, people who on a good year were poor, didn't have what to eat. It was terrible. So there was a meeting of the Gedolim in Yerushalayim, and they decided that it was absolutely necessary that a Meshulach be sent, that a Shliach be sent to Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, and to focus on a particular area in Chutz La'aretz that was at that time relatively close and affluent, which was the community of Jews in Italy. Very interesting, but the community of Jews in Italy, mostly Sfadim, but some Ashkenazim also, to send a Meshulach to Italy. And the choice that was made by the Gedolim was of a person who was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, who also had a beautiful way of speaking and a hadras panim. Didn't stand to say for who the person was, but they chose a very chashuv person. Now, of course, the thing was, like some of you have been involved in Moses, and now that you chose the honoree, you know, the parent of the year, there's only one problem that's left, that's to convince the parents that they should accept it. which is a big chachma to do that, which involves usually blackmail and extortion, all kinds of things. So the Gedolim came with a whole committee to this chashuv yid, to this Talmud Chacham, and they started to, what's going on? Nobody has what to eat, and they, the whole story, and the kids, it was a whole thing. But he was a big tzaddik this year, and they convinced him that he has to go. Now those days to travel, to go on a boat, and to travel, it was stam, it was dangerous, as you know. It was very, very dangerous, and it was a long schlep, and it was terrible. You couldn't just go for a few days; it was still a couple of months, and it was terrible. He was in Kabul, all kinds of succumbs until he finally got to Italy, and he was thinking the whole time, like, so before he left, he said, "Could you give me some references?" "No, do you know anybody that I could meet over there?" "No, but there are a lot of Jews that have money over there. Just go there and see what you could do." He didn't have, you know, it's not just the phone numbers or emails or something. You know, he didn't have anything. He was just going to go. So, the whole time he was saying, what am I going to do? Am I going to do this? And it was a terrible, terrible trip. Finally he gets to Rome. And he started to daven. It was already, what happened, there was a delay. And it was already Erev Shabbos, not so far off from camp lighting. This is what he's going to do. So he davens, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I came here for your children, they're starving in Yerushalayim, in your city. I don't know who to talk, I don't know where to go, I don't see one Jewish face over here. He finishes this tefillah, this is not so long ago, this month. He finishes his tefillah, this beautiful, beautiful horse and wagon pulls up, and somebody leans out of the door, and he sees it's a Yid. It's a Jew. Interesting. Come in. See, there's all this people. He goes in, and they get into a conversation. He sees the people. He has people driving. He never saw such a thing. He used this beautiful thing. It's like, you know, those days, it's like a Rolls Royce by horses. You know, he never saw such a thing. And he's talking, and they go, and he says, I came here from Yerushalayim, because we told him the whole Maaser. And this rich man said, look, you could stay by me for sure the whole time, and I'll introduce you to people. I'll help you out. Unbelievable, Hashem answered this to you. So he goes there and he has to get ready for Shabbos. Everything is, he walks into this house, you can imagine there's a Yerushalmi Jew from 150 years, whatever, he never saw in his life such a thing. The way this place looked, the marble, the magnificent furniture, and it was unbelievable. He was enthralled from the whole place. Okay, he's almost Shabbos, he's ready for Shabbos, he comes back. And he has a lot of guests. He has poor people, different people are there for Shabbos this year. But there's one thing he noticed. They went into this dining room that was bigger than a whole house, this dining room. And in the corner of the dining room, listen carefully, in the corner of the dining room, there was a case, like a display case. And in this display case, there was a disgusting, old, dusty, greenish, broken bottle. Like pieces of a bottle, some of the bottle and some pieces next to it. So, first he thought maybe it's like an antique, you know, rich people could do stuff. Like if a poor person has that, it's not nice. But if a rich person has funny stuff, so that's okay. They even had, now you could buy things that I called stressed. It's not like that. I don't remember. And my wife's going to be embarrassed. But there's something you could buy the chachila that's already old. Some of you might remember those days many years ago when they started selling jeans that were pre-washed, which made into my house for one fitting. And my father said, what are those? And I said, they're jeans. So my father said, I never sold them. What happened to them? So I said, I bought them like that. He says, yeah, you're giving them back like that. I was with my pre-washed period. So there's this disgusting body, and he doesn't know what to make of this. And he can't, this tamachach, and poor people, they don't care. They're poor people, you give them to eat, they're everybody else is just digging in. But this tamachach was looking there, he doesn't know what it is with this body. It's, you know, it's bothering him. So the kahir, the rich guy, he sees that the tamachach is looking there. So he said, you're wondering what that is. So he says, everything else is so beautiful here, I don't know what that is. So he said, okay, I wasn't going to say. If you want, he says, usually the guests don't ask me about it, but it's an interesting story. I'll tell you the story. It's not what I'm saying. Because we're not going to have time to really talk about it. We talk about it a lot. But listen, it's simple, but it's real. He said like this. He said, I'm originally from Amsterdam. My family lived mostly in Amsterdam. When I was very young, when I was a young man, my parents sent me to Rome because my grandfather had a business in Rome that was falling apart. He was already old and he wasn't able to take care of the business. I came to Rome without anybody, not knowing anyone. And I'm a hard worker and I'm an intelligent fellow, and I built up this business. And within a few years, I had branches of this business throughout Italy and even beyond Italy. And I was a tremendous millionaire. I made millions of dollars physically, but some years, a few years after the business got going, my grandfather passed away. As long as my grandfather was alive, we used to learn together and daven together, and I kept the ways of my family. Once my grandfather passed away, I had nobody here that was really in charge of me. And first I stopped eating the right things, and then I stopped going to the right places, and then I stopped the Shabbos and the Tefillin. And I married somebody that was, thank God, was Jewish, but was like me, totally detached. And many years went by, and I was becoming wealthier and wealthier in what I owned and what I had. Until this one day, I was walking, and I saw a little boy, a Jewish boy. And this boy was standing in the street in Rome. It was a little side street. And the boy was crying, Rachmanis. Crying, bawling, and self-possessed. He says, obviously, I'm a Yid, I'm a Jew, and I saw it. And it's time to see a child cry, but a Jewish child, my heart was broken. People didn't even know I was Jewish anymore. But I knew, and I saw this child. And I walked over to him and I said, what happened? What's wrong? Why are you crying so much? So he said, he didn't know that I was Jewish, the boy. So the boy started to explain to me. And he said, my family is very, very poor. My father saves the entire year. He saves pennies, whatever they have over there, piastres. He saves every penny to be able to afford to buy oil for Hanukkah, which is expensive there, at the olive oil. And it's the first night of Hanukkah tonight. So my father took this money because he couldn't spare anything from the food. We don't have what to eat, and he saves this. So my father gave me the. My father gave me this money after cheder, after I had my Jewish school. He gave me this money, and he said, "Go to the place where the oil is, and make sure, be careful to take care of it, not to lose the money, and to bring back the oil." So I was so excited. My father trusted me with this job, and I went to the place, and I got this bottle of oil. It's broken. I got this bottle of oil. And I wanted to get back quickly, and I couldn't stop thinking of how proud my father's going to be. I'm a little boy, but I did such a big person's job, and it was good. But you know how it is in life. The streets probably weren't paved too well in those days. So he said, I was running, and I fell down, and I smashed the bottle. He said, my father, all he asked me to do was this, and he's so good to me, and now I don't know what to do. I'm afraid to go home. How will I face my father? I don't know how I'm going to face my father, and I'm afraid. So he said, I saw this little boy crying so terribly. And of course, he said, I took 100 liras out of my pocket, and I said to him, go take this. Don't worry about it. And he left that bottle on the floor. And I pick up the bottle, and I start to think, This boy, look what he's worried about. He's worried about pleasing his father. And what am I worried about? My money and my things and all. And he said, I was thinking about this a lot. And then a funny thing happened. I couldn't go home. I was just walking around, and then I wanted to walk by the Jewish quarter. And I saw there was a big sign. up over there advertising that a great Rav was coming to give a drasha, to speak. So I said, I haven't heard any Torah since I'm a kid. Let me go. So listen what happens. He says he goes to this shul, it's packed with people, and it was Parshas Vayigash, it was Hanukkah. So the Darshan started to talk about the Pasuk. The Pasuk that everybody knows. Ki eich ela el ovi v'hanar enenu iti. How can I go back to my father if the child is not with me? How could I go back to Yaakov Avinu? Yehuda said, "Eich ela el avi v'anar enenu iti pen era bara asher yimotzi es avi." That I shouldn't see the ra, the suffering, the evil, whatever the suffering that this is going to bring upon my father. And this Rav began to explain. He said to these Jews in the shul in Rome, he said, "Eich ela el avi," that a person has to stop and think that at 120 we're going to have to return to our father. We're going to have to return to the Baruch Shalom. And when we were born, the Baruch Shalom gave us the sweetest and purest souls. They're so beautiful, our neshamas are so sweet. And he gave us these neshamas, this neshama of a child that's untouched and unblemished, undefiled, unpolluted. He gave us these neshamas. And a person has to think his whole life, "Eich el el ovi v'hanar enenu iti," how could I face my father? How could I face the master of the world when that child is not with me, when the innocence of my childhood, when who I was, that gift of being one of Hashem's children is not with me? "Eich el el ovi." And erbara, asher yimotzi es ovi, how could I bring such sadness upon my father? How could I bring such terrible tragedy upon my father? And I heard this drasha, and it went through me, he says, like a knife, mamish, like a knife. And I couldn't stop thinking, "Eich el el avi v'anar enenu iti." How could I return? That little boy, he was saying, he can't face his father because he dropped a jar of oil. And what in my life did I drop along the way? And how many places did I trip up in? And what did I stumble over on my way to trying to become rich and powerful and influential? And now, how am I going to face my father? Without that child. Without that child that I once was, that was raised by the parents back in Amsterdam. And I was makabel upon myself to return to the way of Torah and Mitzvahs. And it's the whole story about how he influenced his wife, and she agreed to talk and to go learn, and they learned together, and he said that, "Baruch Hashem has blessed me, and now I have a complete Jewish home with Jewish children who are themselves learning in yeshiva. And I keep that bottle, that broken bottle in the corner in that case, because that was the broken bottle that put my life back together again. Because I was so broken, and that put me back together again. So that I should be able to look at my father in the eyes and to return to him in a good way." And the Balei Avodas, like, it's finished, the Balei Avodas say, tzaddikim, that, you know, there's a difference. "Eich el el avi," how do we go back to our father? You know, that when a person gets lost, when a person gets messed up, and he's whatever, drunk or dirty, so he goes to his best friend, so he knows his best friend will take him in, his friend will take him in. He comes filthy and drunk, but his friend will take him in. But the friend will ask him a couple of kashas, right? The kash will be, where were you, what happened to you? Maybe you want to take a shower before you, you know, you sit down with our family, to get yourself together, take care of yourself. I'll give you a change of clothing, you look disgusting, but, you know, you have to put yourself back together. But when you go back to your parents' home, you go back to your father's and mother's home, and you were away, no matter how dirty and drunk you got along the way, the first thing the parents say is not, "Why did it take you so long?" It's not, "What happened to you? Look at you." The first thing the parents say, "We missed you so much. You were away for so long. We couldn't bear being without you. We were worried about you. We'll talk later. Just come back and stay with us and be home with us." Rabbi said, "Asonu lefanacha, we're back with the Rabbi Shalom." That's what Slichus is. We're back with Rabbi Shalom. We're back with you. We want to try again. Here we are trying again, again. When Rav Baruch Beer's father was very sick, Rav Baruch Beer's father was very, very sick, and Rav Baruch Beer stayed with him night and day, day and night. He didn't leave him, Rav Baruch Beer. Listen, he didn't leave him. And his family was begging him, that you're going to get sick. You can't go like this. He wasn't giving any shiurim. He was just sitting with his father watching him die. So finally, the family convinced him to go to lie down a little bit. And so you know what the mazel was? There was a bracha that was watching his father that night, the first night in weeks that the Baruch Beer went to lie down. His father passed away. The Baruch Beer couldn't come to himself. After that, he stopped giving shiurim. He locked himself in a room. They didn't know what to do with him. The Baruch Beer, the famous Kamenetz Rosh Hashiva, was totally out of it. Because he felt that it was his fault, that if he would have stayed with his father, would have been kibbutz of, and he could have kept him alive, and he wouldn't have died, and if he would have died, at least I would have been there, because he said, you do something like this. Instead, he died by him with a bacha, not me, not his son. He couldn't come to himself. Word reached the Chafetz Chaim that this is what was going on. So Chafetz Chaim sent a shliach to the Baruch Beer, come to me. So Baruch Beer came to the Chafetz Chaim, a broken man. The Baruch Beer said this over. That the Chafetz Chaim sat with him and put his hand on him first for half an hour and was just looking at him. That's something. And the Chafetz Chaim said, Baruch Beer, do you know what tshuva means? Tshuva means that you're not the same person that you were. Whatever happens, forget it. You're somebody different. You're a new person. You're different. And Baruch Beer said that the way that the Chafetz Chaim said that and the way he was holding it, Baruch Beer jumped up and he said, Ich bin ein Neuer. Ich bin ein Neuer. I'm new. Ich bin ein Neuer. And he said that for the rest of his life, Baruch Beer used to say that the Chafetz Chaim Mamish gave me back my life. Ich bin ein Neuer. I'm new. Rabbi Sadat Bern Shalom has gifts to give us. He's standing there with big peklach for each and every one of us. He's asking us to face him and to be honest, for this tekufa to be real. And the Baruch Hashem is going to open up that package and he's going to drop on us and all of Klal Yisrael. He's going to drop the most wonderful gifts of Bonai Chaim, Zayin, children, Shidduchim, and children, and good health, and Shalom Bayis, and Panos, and Refuas, and Yeshuas, for each and every one of us. He has gifts for all of his kindle, for all of his chassanim and kalas. He's asking us, try a little bit to be anaya, to be new. Try to be new, try to be with me. And that's chus. All of our tefillahs will be answered for ourselves, for our loved ones, for all Jews. And the Hester Panim will end. And we'll be back with the Baruch Shalom Panim al Panim in the Bais HaMikdash, and the Kruvim will face each other in love. And we'll be Zeichu Bez Hashem, each and every one of us, with all of Klal Yisrael, to be Nechtavim, V'Nechtamim, Alta V'Zif, and Shal Tzadik, and Gemurim, to be Nechtamim, for the Ma'asim HaTayr, and for Gud Geben Shtir, and for Gul Hashem, V'Amikis, and Hegemenu Amen, V'Amen.